right. Let's go ahead and have the young children, I say young children, all children, if they want to come up here in the front row. And it would be great if there was a parent or two or somebody. They don't even need to be a parent. Could be a Mr. Buckner or something like that too. He's just a big child, so. Now, adults, be not mistaken. If you chalk this up as just child's and not for me, you lose, okay? You miss out. You know, honestly, sometimes I wonder if we ought to preach on child's level all the time. Because children, when you put things at children's level, then it just makes it understandable by all, okay? And so I can't say that I do the greatest at that. I don't always think that same way, but want to give some things today. And today we're going to, kids, we're going to be dressing head coverings. No, I'm just kidding. No, I was really wrestling with that because I only have so many times this year the way we're doing things with the guys preaching, you know, through the in the evenings, and I was thinking, boy, can I afford not to do 1 Corinthians 11 tonight? And I wrestled with it a little bit. But I also did not want to pass up the opportunity to try to impute what Easter is to these youngsters. Our world is, kids, listen, you're going to hear it now. I understand that you kids are not, you know, in the public school. At least you kids aren't. I understand that. But the world is, and adults, the world is pumping all kinds of stuff into our kids through all kinds of different avenues. You understand that, right? They are after the children mostly. I mean, they want to get us too, but it's mostly the kids. And that's why they're doing everything they can to get into the grade schools. That's why they're doing everything they can that they can get into the public libraries for story time. They're doing everything they can to get them while they're young, because if they can, I mean, the young mind is an open mind, and they feel like they can fill it in first, then it's not just like they've got them for life. Now, we know that that's not true, because Jesus can change anyone, and that's a blessing, but we need to be doing everything we can. Adults, are you listening even right now? We need to be doing everything we can to pump truth into these kids. Kids, I want to tell you something. We're not going to talk about all kinds of deep stuff tonight, but can I tell you all, kids, look this way. All right? The only reality of an Easter bunny is someone dressed up, okay? It's not a real bunny. It's really a person behind that little thing. And I know you say, come on, is that all we're going to talk about tonight? No. But a lot of kids think that Easter has to do with bunnies, you know, big bunnies with big floppy ears and big teeth, you know, and that's not what Easter's all about. In fact, I don't even know where the bunny came from, you know, as far as Easter comes, but I don't know. I didn't do all the research. Eggs, some attribute eggs some people, you know, say Christianity, and they would say, you know, it brings new life and all that. Some attribute a lot of these things. You realize that any Christian practice, somebody's going to attribute to a pagan practice. Okay? And I don't, if you are under the mind that this is came from pagan, we're not here to dispute, but I want to say the devil does a lot of that. The devil does a lot of trying to twist good, genuine things that we have to celebrate into something that's pagan. Oh, I guess we can't do it. They've done it with Christmas, they do it with Easter, you know, and to say this was a pagan practice and we ought to have nothing to do with it. Folks, I want to tell you, who loses if we don't celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? We do. We lose. I want to tell you something. We ought to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ought to triumph with it. Kids, listen, Easter does not have to. Well, let me ask you, what are some things that maybe people would think that Easter is? I already gave you two, okay? They might think that it's bunnies. They might think that it's eggs or colored eggs. What are some other things? I've already mentioned them earlier today. What are some other things that people might associate Easter with? Got any ideas? Sam, you always got an idea. What do you think? Skits. Maybe so. Easter skits. I don't know. Some of you might have seen Easter skits before. What else? Uriah. a service. You know, I think Uriah is right. You know, a lot of people think that Easter is just a service in a church. Have you noticed how many people show up to church on a Sunday? It might be the only time they go to church. And then that's not a bad, I'm glad that they come. That's good, but they associate Easter as just something they do on a Sunday morning. It's Easter, let's find a place to go, right? And then they go and they did their Easter. Uriah is right, a lot of people associate Easter with just a service. And I'm glad they came to our service today, but Easter's not just a church service. You're right. Anything else that you think of? Adults, you know, you can contribute. What do people think of when they think of Easter? Alyssa? Easter baskets. Oh, yeah, I go to the store and there's baskets and gifts and I got eggs and chocolate. What about chocolate? Some of you are like, oh, yeah, chocolate, right? Some of you ladies, I mean, that's, I guess that was prejudice. I shouldn't have said that. Some of you guys, chocolate. Jelly beans, yeah. If you remember, go ahead and say it later. Anything else? Easter.
Flowers.
What's that? Flowers. Ooh, yeah, flowers. Everybody gonna get flowers on Easter. And are flowers pretty? Oh, yeah, we want flowers, but it's not Easter, though. Gifts, yep. Getting gifts, and it could be Easter. You know, and are any of these things necessarily wrong that we said? No, again, I guess we could dispute the bunny and the egg. I don't know, but you know, there's nothing wrong with bunnies, and there's nothing wrong with eggs, right? But is that Easter? You know, do you think that that's worth us getting together and having big services and having lots of food and going to visit, you know, people and stuff? You know, I guess anything is good to do that, but that's not, you know, what is Easter? So I want to ask you kids, there are three main things when we think of in the Bible that talk about Easter, okay? Can you think of what they are? When we refer to Easter, and Easter is really focused on one of them, there's three things, and a lot of time we as adults talk about the gospel. Have you ever heard me preach and talk about the gospel? Yes? Have you heard the gospel? Do you know what the gospel? Who knows what the gospel is? What's the gospel? Uriah. Ah, did you hear that? You might say, no, I didn't hear it. But he got him. Uriah's dead on. The gospel is the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and what did you say the last one was? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did he get it? He got it, didn't he? And can we leave out any of those? No, we can't. Those three are important. So kids, I'm going to ask you some questions. We're going to talk a little bit because we want to make this practical. And I'm going to say this again. Adults, don't check out. You might even learn some things tonight concerning Easter. And don't check out because it might be applied in your life. Okay, why? Here's the first question. Why is it important? We're going to turn to some passages of Scripture. In fact, we're going to share some Bibles up here because I want you to see some of these adults. We're going to be turning to a number of passages. But the first thing that I want to ask you is, all right, so Uriah said the first thing was what? He said the death of Jesus, right? It's the crucifixion. He died on the cross. So my question is why was it important that Jesus die on the cross? Why? What was the reason? Why would a person have to die on a cross, Sam? Okay, Sam says to take away our sin. Is Sam right in general? Yeah. Why? But why would a person have to die? Kids, I want you to really think about this. All right, don't waste your time, you know, messing around. I really want you to think, why? Really? Okay, let me ask you a question. Are you a sinner? Sam said that Jesus had to die to take away our sin. So when he said our sin, he is kind of saying that we're all sinners. Are we all sinners? What do you think, kids? Are we all sinners? The answer is, yes, we are. We're all sinners. Adults, are we all sinners? Kind of sad, but we are. Kids, let me blow your mind a little bit. Do you know that everybody else in this room, we're all sinners? It's not just you. We're all sinners. Every one of us. Who knows a verse in the Bible that tells us that we're all sinners? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? And so where is that found? Do you remember Malachi? Romans 3:23. Thank you, Mr. Buckner. Romans 3:23. Let's all turn there really quickly. Kids, turn there. I want you to see it. If you don't have a Bible with you, I want you to see it for yourself. It's important that you see we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And Malachi quoted it, and we're gonna say it again, okay? So Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. What's the reality here? That means what is true about you? The Bible says for, what's the second word? For all, okay? Some of the kids are still finding their spots here, okay? Romans 3:23. For all, let's say it again, for all. Every one of us is a sinner. Every single one of us has done something wrong. We have gone against God's word and we've done wrong. What are some things that we do that's wrong? Kids, what do you think? What are some things that we have done, Uriah? Disobeyed. Disobeyed, and it's not just the children that have disobeyed. How many of us have disobeyed when God has wanted us to do things? That is a sin. God calls that sin, so we've done wrong. We have disobeyed. One more, children. What's another sin that we... go ahead, Elijah. If somebody has a toy and we take it, okay? And so we could call that a number of different things. It's being mean or it's stealing or who knows what we could call that. But that's a sin, okay? So we all have sinned. And we all ought to be thinking to ourselves right now, what are some of the things that I have done that have been considered sin? Things that have gone against God. Well, God tells us that we're all sinners. And Jesus died in our place, right? Because what do we deserve, kids? What do we deserve because of our sin? Cohen, do you know what do you deserve? What do I deserve because I'm a sinner? Do you know? We deserve death. Cohen is right also. We deserve death. What is death? It means we die, right? We die. We deserve that death. But it's more than just our physical bodies that die. What else? What does that mean about us being able to be with God? Can we be with God because of our sin? What's the answer? No, we can't. We cannot. Why can't we, kids, be with God when we have sin in our lives? Do you know why, Sam? Because God is holy. God is holy. And He cannot look upon our sin. I think it's, what is that? I think it's 1 John 1, and I can't remember the verse that says that in Him is no darkness at all, okay? He says that in Him is no darkness at all, and so God cannot look upon our sin, okay? Because He's holy. Are we holy? I'm talking about without Christ. Are we holy? No, we're sinners. All right, so the Bible says we deserve death, okay? We all deserve to be separated from God. We can't go to God. And what has Jesus done? So we need to make this faster here. I'm going too long, okay? What has Jesus done for us so that we don't have to go to hell? He did what? He died on the cross, okay? So that's the first thing. So Jesus died on the cross. Is that important for us? Kids, is that important that Jesus died on the cross? I want to see every one of your heads going like this. Is it important? Yes, it is. It's real important. Good job, Daniel. I saw your head moving there. It's important that Jesus died on the cross. Are you adults thankful that Jesus went to the cross for you? Yes. Praise the Lord, Jesus went to the cross for you. Now, I want to go to the next one, okay? Because this one's an interesting one. We all understand the cross. I hope you do. The cross is important. What is the significance of the burial? Now that is interesting. Now kids, I might lose you just a little bit here, but I want to just share a couple things. Adults, this is going to be interesting. And I want to ask you, and I'm going to ask the kids first, does anybody understand why is it important that Jesus was buried? Okay? What do we know about the burial? Okay? Jesus was buried, right? Buried where? Well, we have a tomb that symbolizes, you know, that burial. But what's important about the burial? Do you know, Uriah? I think he's onto something here. It's kind of hard. I want you to think, isn't it a little bit hard? Are you having a hard time? Like, what is significance about the burial? It is. And I think Uriah is not far off. He immediately starts to go to the third point in the resurrection, because the resurrection is only the resurrection if what happens? There's death. And of course, that's the first one. So he died on the cross. And it's almost like we want to go from the death to the resurrection. But what's the significance of the burial? Any other thoughts from you kids? Adults, I'm coming to you next. Any other thoughts on Elijah, you got some answers there? He was in the tomb. Yep, and he was laid down, Sam. Okay, so he had to come off of the cross, and he had to go to a place, and then, of course, he was there, and then he would be resurrected. I'm going to bring it to you, adults. Any thoughts that you have on the significance of the burial? Okay, Alyssa's on to something really big there. Any other thoughts? I'm going to come back to that. Any other thoughts? Okay, I think that's a big thing. There was a confirmation of death. You know, when you put somebody in the tomb, it's like there's no breathing left, right? There's no mistake. Okay, I think that's significant. There's no mistake. It was like, okay, he for sure is. There was no conspicuous actions going on. I mean, he was really dead, right? And we put him in the tomb, and they rolled the stone in front of it, and they sealed it. He was there, and he was there for a little while, okay? So that's significant. I know what I'm going to share with you is going to be a little off the cuff, and it's going to be a little strange, but, okay, Alyssa was on to something. There's two things. Let me ask you this question. What are some things that the Scripture teaches us concerning the burial? We don't have a lot. And Alyssa kind of mentioned one. She alluded to one of them. There's a couple things that we can see a little bit in the Old Testament and then a little bit in the New Testament. There's not many things that are said there concerning the burial. First of all, let me ask you the question, who was it in Scripture that was, of course God was, but responsible for the burial of Jesus Christ? What was his name? Joseph of Arimathea. Okay, now it is, kids, listen to this. I know that I'm going to get a little bit deeper here, but you try to listen because this is important, okay, to try to understand. Joseph of Arimathea, we don't really know where this Arimathea was, okay? People are trying to find out, they don't know, but we can understand that it was probably in close proximity to Jerusalem, okay, because he had a place. You know how some of you have bought certain plots that when you die, you will be buried there? Well, Joseph of Arimathea had his. Everybody did not have theirs, but he did. And he had a place. Most likely, it was close there in Arimathea. He was from that, because we do know that his burial plot was right there by Jerusalem, or even, in fact, you know, just right outside the city walls of Jerusalem. So he must have been very close. Okay, so we have Joseph of Arimathea. Again, I ask the question, what do we know about his burial? There's just two main things that we know. Besides who or what Joseph was responsible there. Anybody know? We're going to go to some passages of Scripture here in just a moment. What's that? It was new, okay. Along the lines with some thoughts. Okay, 3 days, 3 nights is significant. I don't think so. Let's go to some Scripture. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's look at some things. Kids, I want you to turn there. I mostly want you to listen, though. There's a couple things about the burial that I want you to understand. And I got to be careful not to get into the weeds here real quick, okay? But I do think this is important. I do think that you understand this a little bit. The burial of Jesus, and I'm going to ask the question, you know, I said, why was the death of Jesus important? And the answer that Uriah gave was, you know, to pay the penalty for sin. Now we ask, why was the burial of Jesus important? And of course, I think, like, was it Jim or somebody said, you know, that that's important because it was a confirmation of his death. I think that's good, but there's something more to it that I want to look at. Isaiah 53:9. What does it say here about that's interesting about the burial? Notice right in the middle of the verse, Isaiah 53:9, and he made his grave with the wicked. All right, let's stop right there. Now, who did Jesus go to the cross with? Who was next to him? Two thieves, okay? We have some criminals there. And so was Jesus killed with criminals? What's the answer? Was he killed with the wicked? Yes, he was, okay? He was killed with the wicked. We know that. And we see here, and by the way, what would they have done with the wicked people once they confirmed that they were dead? And by the way, crucifixion was a slow process. Kids, when they hung on the cross, they didn't die right away. In fact, it took them a long period of time. We're not going to get into this, but they would do something to the people so that they would actually die a little bit faster. Anybody know what that was? They would break the bones, you know, somewhere on the leg. They would break the bones so that they couldn't push up to get their breath. And so they would crush, the word that's actually used there, they would crush their bones so that they couldn't breathe anymore. And then of course, they would die because they couldn't breathe, okay? And so they would do that. Now, we know that that would, Jesus prophesied that that wouldn't happen, okay? That it was prophesied before that it would not happen, that not a bone in his body would be broken. But Jesus would go to the cross. What they would do with the criminals, the wicked people, like this verse says in Isaiah, they would take the wicked people after they finally died. When they could tell that they were dead, they would take these people and throw them somewhere. Would they give them a proper burial? No, they wouldn't. Where would they throw them? Some have suggested they would throw them in the valley that was below Jerusalem. Any of you Wednesday night people know the valley that they would throw these people? The Valley of Hinnom, okay? The pit. That's where they threw the trash, okay? A lot of these criminals that died on the cross, they would take their bodies and chuck them into the Valley of Hinnom. And that's where they would be left. There was no glory, kids. There was nothing fancy or special about dying on a cross for a criminal. But it's interesting, the verse doesn't just end there with that. Look at the verse. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. The rich. Where does that come from? The rich. You know, it was almost impossible for a rich person to come along and to be responsible for burying Jesus. And again, I'm going to get in the weeds really quick here, but that was an impossibility. You know, and yet a rich person. In Matthew 27:57, and when the even was come, there came a what kind of man from Arimathea? Kids, what kind of a man came from Arimathea? Do you know what he's referred to as? Was he poor or rich? Joseph of Arimathea was rich. He was rich. That means he had a lot of money. And he came. It would be impossible for one of these criminals, the wicked, to die and to escape the Valley of Hinnom unless God had a bigger plan. And God had a bigger plan. Now, what was the next thing that was very important? Go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. This story is compared to another story that happened in the Bible, and it tells us something about this burial. So he would be buried by the rich. And then there's another thing that's mentioned in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. And it was already mentioned here. For as Jonas, who knows who Jonas is? Now, Jonas is just another name for who? Jonah. You kids remember Jonah? Okay, what happened to Jonah? He was swallowed by a whale, a big fish, okay? Came in, okay? And how long was Jonah in the fish's belly? 3 days and three nights. That's how long he was there. Guess what? For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man by 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the what day? The third day according to the scriptures. So here we have two things that we know about the burial. Kids, listen to this. Two things that we really know about the burial. He was going to be buried by a rich man, and it was going to be for 3 days. 3 days, three nights, okay? And so we know a few things about that. And what's interesting, adults, about this? I'll lose the kids here with that. What is so interesting with this is only an amazing God that could plan everything could take a situation that was happening the day before the Sabbath and get him in the grave and be done so that he could rise again the third day, which was on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Now, there's a lot of things that you can read out there on which day was it then that Jesus died. And I'm not gonna make any bold, you know, thoughts on it, but I would say this. As you look at it, if some people take the Thursday and that it had to be on Thursday, because if you take the 3 days and three nights that it, you know, the 24-hour period in order to do that, then it would be the fourth day on Sunday morning. And so you can get really big into that. The bottom line is this, that to fulfill prophecy, Jesus or God had to do a lot of work. He had to find a man in the nick of time to come and to right at the right time. I mean, Jesus hanging on the cross, he died, he gave up the ghost, and then Joseph comes along and it was he was a disciple of God or of Jesus. He came and all of a sudden he was a secret disciple. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. And yet this rich man came and he was compelled, like at the end of Jesus' life, to say, I gotta do something for this cause. And he was willing to give up all of his reputation to go and to bury Jesus in his tomb. And he only had a few hours to do it, to make the prophecy of the 3 days and three nights work. Because, you know, and of course, I'm getting really into the weeds here with the way the Jewish calendar was and when the Sabbath started. He had a few hours to get that thing and to take him and to get him buried so it'd be considered that day. And so he does. And so he takes him. And it's kind of like a miracle that God is working this out. And why is he doing it? And that's why I said all of that. Why is he doing this? There's an important thing here. It's to fulfill prophecy. And it's so that you can look at the scriptures and say, this is credible. Everything that God said works. The word of God is true, folks. By the way, don't read a commentary that tells you, yeah, well, that's not, you can't take that. Don't worry about that. We can't figure that out, so it must be a scribal error, whatever. Don't you throw that out. That is not true. God worked tirelessly to make things work just right. He got a perfect man that fulfilled the scripture. He got a perfect situation. There's a lot of things that we could that you could look at that and study, but and we don't have time for that tonight. But kids, can I just tell you? I think one of the main things I think that Mr. Buckner was right that there was a making it real that he was really dead, because only dead people go to the grave. But can I say this? I think that Jesus was buried in the tomb simply to prove Scripture true. To authenticate it, you don't know what that word means, but to make it real, to make it alive, to make it this work, to prove to the world that he's true. Kids, can I tell you something? Look at me. Jesus Christ really did die. He really did go to the grave. He really did stay in 3 days, and he really was resurrected. It's the truth, no matter what anybody else tells you. Do you hear that? It's the truth. So I say this, the first thing, Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Second of all, Jesus went to the grave or the tomb. He was buried so that he could prove Scripture true. Okay? Do you get that? He proved Scripture true. And then third, what's the third one, Uriah? The resurrection, right? That's what you said. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what we talked about this morning. And I want to, as we close, I want to make this very practical. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he rose from the tomb. Why, kids, is it important? Excuse me. Why is it important that Jesus rose? Why couldn't he have just stayed in there dead? I mean, wasn't that already special that he died on the cross and took our place? Wow. I mean, that was amazing. But why is it important that he actually rose from the dead? So that we would be free. I like that answer. So that we would be free. What did the resurrection prove? What did it prove? Okay, when Jesus dies, in a sense, what would most people conclude when a person dies? Death got the best of us, right? You know, when our bodies go through a lot, by the way, you kids have a lot of life left, at least we hope so. But as our bodies grow older, and we get older and older, and my kids think I'm really old, okay? As we get old and can't do very many things, what happens is we get closer to our bodies kind of giving out, right? They eventually, I know right now you feel like you've got a lot of life, you can run around and do all kinds of stuff. As you get older, you don't have as much energy to do that. And as you get much older, you really don't feel like you have the energy to do that. And our bodies give out. And in a little way, what wins? It's kind of like death wins. And so for a moment, the world could look at Jesus and what could they conclude? Death won, right? And it was the best thing that could happen. I mean, isn't that exactly what the religious people, the religious Jews wanted? Just get him killed, right? Just kill him. Just, you know, we will win. If we will just die, we'll win. You know, we had the testimony of the high priest here this morning, you know, standing here. And I'll tell you what, Jesus' death was amazing for them. Jesus' resurrection was destruction for them. It killed everything that they stood for. They were the go-between. They were the people. They were the law. They were everything. When Jesus rose from the dead, it meant, it just destroyed everything. Kids, you've got to understand, when we talk about the tomb and the resurrection, we understand that Jesus, when he went to the cross, he was kind of like defeated. What does the resurrection tell us? Yeah, it's one word. Somebody said it over here. What does the resurrection tell us? And I like the word that Uriah said. He said free. Free. I think that's a good word, isn't it? Free. What did Jesus do when Jesus rose from that grave? He proved that death did not have victory over him. Even death couldn't get him. What is the truth about every person in this room unless the rapture happens first? What's true about every single person? Anybody know? At least of you kids. Do you know what will happen to you for sure unless Jesus comes back first? What will happen for sure? You know? We're going to die. Is Malachi right? We're going to die. Do you know that death would have victory over all of us except physically, except for the fact that Jesus rose from the grave? He rose. And that means that death doesn't have victory over us anymore. We may die, but what will happen? We will also rise again. We will also rise again. But as we close, I want to say this, and this is the biggest thing that I want you kids to get. All you kids, look up here. Look right here. You're getting tired, so am I. I'm ready to go home and go to bed. Been a good day. It's been a long day, okay? But just listen to this, okay? I'm going to even come down here. You adults don't miss it either, okay? When Jesus rose from the dead, when Jesus came out of that tomb, He gave you victory over sin. You, Sam, you don't have to disobey anymore. Nehemiah, you don't have to be mean to your brother anymore. And the rest of the kids are like, don't pick me. When Jesus rose from the grave, He made it. See, beforehand, you just had to. You know, sin kind of like walked behind you with a whip and just said, you sin, you do wrong. And people that are not saved, they have to. But when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, He freed you from that. That's why I like Uriah's word. He freed us. He freed us so that we don't have to anymore. You don't have to do those things. If you do, it's because you choose to, but you don't have to. You can have victory over sin. You can have victory in your life. You don't have to live every single day and be like, oh, I did it again. I'm just a naughty boy. I'm just a bad girl. I can't do right. That's a lie. It's a lie. I'm trying to look at every one of you in the face. I want you kids to know something. You don't have to sin. Jesus Christ, when He rose from the grave, He freed you from that sin. And now you simply have to do this. And by the way, adults, listen in, because a lot of us adults we don't understand this. You say, okay, so I'm free to do right. I don't have to sin. But boy, it's so hard. I feel like I give into it all the time anyway. Here's the answer. What do you do then? What do you do? Sometimes we make it harder than what it really is. Here's the answer, kids, and here's the answer, adults. It's recognizing that you can't do it. But Jesus, because He rose from the grave, He can do it. See, when Jesus rose from the grave, He demonstrated power that none of us have. Nobody, not a person in this room has the power to go in the grave. They're dead and have the power to come out of it alive again. None of us have that power. And you'll never see it. But Jesus did. And as the Roman soldier said this morning, that's power. That's power. Kids, that power, listen, that power that Jesus demonstrated when He came out of the grave is for you. You can't do it. Adults, let me tell you something. You cannot do right through your day. But because Jesus came out of the tomb, you can do right because it's His power. It's His power that frees you from that sin. And how can you do it? Claim it. Simply claim it. I don't have to. That's all it is. I mean, we make it some big hard thing that you've got to do this hard thing and be miserable or whatever. No, you just claim it. I don't have to do that and walk away. I don't have to give in to that. I don't have to look at that naughty picture. I don't have to listen to that music. I don't have to get mad at my spouse. I don't have to get mad at my brother or sister. I don't have to steal the toy away from him. You don't have to do it. You have the power within you to walk away. Adults, you have the power within you to walk away. And why do you have that power? What's the answer? Why do you have that power? Because Christ defeated death. And so the answer is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is very crucial to the Christian life. Death was important so that you don't have to go to hell. The burial is important so that you can understand that Scripture is real. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives you freedom and liberty from the sin that is so pressuring on you in your life. My friend, I'll tell you, Easter is an important day for every one of us. Kids, Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, very, very, very important for us to live so that we can have eternal life here on this earth. You don't have to sin. And that's why Easter is so important. So when we celebrate Easter and we look at everybody else and what they're doing, and I don't know what they're doing, but I can tell you, we serve the Lord and we worship today, not for bunnies, not for eggs, not for presents, not for dresses, not for colors, not for flowers, not for church services. We celebrate Easter because it shows us that we are free. We are free from our sin. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for dying on the cross and taking our place. Thank you so much for giving us, for taking that place and taking that punishment that we deserve. Father, thank you so much for the intricate details that you put together for the burial of Jesus Christ. And it certainly intrigues us to study that more, but just to think about all the details that you gave so that we could see the truth of the burial of Jesus Christ. And then of course, the resurrection as Jesus came out of the grave, not just for a good story, not just for, you know, so that he could go back to heaven, but he did it so that we can have victory over our sin. God, thank you so much that Jesus Christ has done that. Lord, I pray that it would be real. I pray that we would understand why we get together today, Easter Sunday, to celebrate. Father, thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for Jesus. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.